Hello, listeners. I'm your host, Jules James, and welcome to another section of Crossing Boundaries, where you can learn how some people cross different boundaries throughout their lives. This first story is about a young 26-year-old woman who wanted a different lifestyle diet, but her family didn't support this change in her life. Let's see what she says about this.
In high school, my junior year of high school, I received a booklet that was published by PETA, which is short for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and it was a thin brochure, thin booklet, but it had a lot of information about how the environment was affected by the meat and dairy industries, it also had a lot of information on how the meat and dairy products were affecting our health adversely, and it had a lot of information on how animals were being mistreated by corporations in those industries.
How long did it take you to think about it for you to be able to tell your parents about being vegetarian or vegan?
Well, I read the booklet all the way home on the subway, so that lasted for about half an hour. Then I went home, did a lot of reading that afternoon and evening online on my own, and I decided then that I wanted to be vegetarian. I don't remember if I told my parents right away, like that day, but I definitely told them, that week.
Do you remember your mom or dad's first response about it?
It didn't go too well. I stayed vegetarian for 4.5 years after that, and all throughout it, my family never came on board with it. Like, none of them, not a single one of them, I don't recall. At some points, they were less vocal about it. But overall, they're mostly very vocal with their their concerns about my choice. But I have to say, though, that my mom, she was one of the most vocal. But even though she was vocal about it, vocally opposed to it, her actions spoke otherwise. She still, made sure, I ate, complete full meals, and ate healthy and ate satisfying meals. Not just healthy and full meals, but also satisfying meals. Like, she went out of her way to develop new dishes, to look for mock meats, fake meats, or meat substitutes. And she just whipped up, all these really delicious dishes that I love to this day. She made it a lot easier for me to be vegetarian, even as all the while, she continued to be vocal about her concerns with my choice.
Why do you think your family was so against you? Was it because they weren't, educated on being vegetarian or vegan? Or they just didn't like the fact that you wouldn't eat meat and you were kind of different than everyone else?
I think that, I know that they were familiar with vegetarianism, and that they had a respect for it. I know that some of my family members would at times practice vegetarianism for religious reasons. So I don't think they were 100% opposed to it, but they were opposed to my adoption of vegetarianism as a full-time lifestyle, and diet choice. I think there are two main reasons. The first one was that they were concerned about my health. They wanted to make sure that I would receive all the, proper nutrients, especially since my body was still developing at that stage in my life. And the second main reason is, and they were, very, very vocal about this. And this was the reason that upset me more. The first reason, the nutrition reason, that definitely came from a place of love. And I've always appreciated that. The second reason, you know, didn't sit so well with me. It was more that they didn't want me to be, you know, they didn't want me to stand out from the pack in any way. I just remember constantly hearing, you know, Nay, why do you have to be so different? You know, it didn't sit well with me because I didn't think that my choice was harming anyone, and that in fact it was better for my own health, my own body, for the most part, and that it was definitely better for our environment and for animals. So yeah, those were the two main reasons. A third reason, you know, I didn't realize this until much later on, until I think well after I stopped being vegetarian, was that I think that it's tied in with the first reason, with nutrition. I didn't realize it later on that I think they really thought that I had had adopted a vegetarian diet in order to lose weight and in order to you know, maintain a figure, like a trim figure. And that wasn't it at all.
Can you name a time of one of your worst criticism that you received for being a little different? Like the worst time.
I just remember a lot of kind of like snide remarks at family gatherings, or even just, you know, small little casual get-togethers with some family members on the weekends. And also the occasional shouting match and door slamming. but I really don't recall any one incident. I just remember a pattern, you know, an upsetting pattern of opposition from family.
Do you remember a time where someone has actually supported you about being vegetarian or vegan? It could be like a family member or a close friend or a classmate.
Yeah, actually, earlier when you asked me about my family's response and my parents' response to it, I kind of gave a blanket response for, you know, family-wide opposition. But I actually, since then, I've recalled that there was more kind of a split. I think that the older generation, like my parents and my older brothers and my sisters-in-law and my uncles and my aunts-in-law, not my aunts-in-law, but they were definitely opposed to it. But I think the younger generation, like my nephew and my nieces, they were in my, I think maybe even my cousins, I don't remember, but like my younger ones, I think that they were either, you know, indifferent about it or supportive about it. I remember one family member in particular, my niece, she was in elementary school at the time. And I remember she would come home. I was very happy. I would be very happy when she came home and would come home and tell me about her art teacher and her art teacher's love for animals. And I'm pretty sure her art teacher was also vegetarian. She definitely supported me. Like, I think that when I think about, you know, my vegetarian diet and my family, you know, I just, like, the dominant feeling and dominant memory is one of opposition, and it's, like, just this very loud, you know, if it were a room in my, you know, mind palace, then it would be a room full of echoes, loud echoes. But no, actually, there was at least one family member who was actively supportive, and that was my niece. It was a snap decision. It was when I decided to stop being vegetarian. It was a very heat of the moment, emotional decision. I mean, you know, leading up to that point, I had been receiving a lot of opposition, not just from family but also from my boyfriend at the time, and you know, after months and months and months of you know, being on the receiving end of that opposition, and, you know, just one day, you know, we were at a restaurant, we had an argument, we were arguing about something else entirely, and, you know, there were all these different dishes coming to our table. We were having Cantonese style dim sum, and like the only dish I could eat as a vegetarian was Chinese broccoli. That was one of the very, very few dishes I could actually eat. And I just remember just being so upset about, you know, whatever we were arguing about, and then just reaching for a meat dish and just going, you know, just gobbling it down and going, there, you know, like, I ate it. And then after that, you know, I was no longer vegetarian. But I, for the rest of my college career, up until I moved back home, I really functioned. I still continue to function mostly as a vegetarian. You know, like, my diet involved very, very little bit of meat on rare occasions. Thanks for having me.
The next story is about two women who got pregnant before they were married, and this affected their social, religious, and education life.
Well, it was June the 17th. It was in that spare moment that me and her father got together. And we knew what we was getting into.
Did they really know what they was getting into? Carolyn James had her first baby, Christian James, at the age of 29. At this time, Carol was able to get married, but she decided she wanted to wait until after she had her baby. Quindara James had her first child, Zara, at the age of 23. And just like Carol, she was able to be married, but the difference between them two is Quindara decided to not get married at all. They both are Christians, and in their religions, it's a sin to get pregnant or fornicate before marriage. Because they broke this sin, did they cross boundaries with their religions? When I asked the question about their reaction and the father's reaction when they found out when they were pregnant, I received two completely different answers. But I can't say I was surprised when I first heard them. Let's hear what Quindara said.
I found out a whole bunch of lies on his end of the story. But pretty much I said that I was pregnant, and he was not, well, he wasn't as excited as you would think someone would be. But pretty much we just waited it out and talked and waited until the child was born.
After hearing Quindara's response, I realized that Carolyn had a whole different response. Let's see what she had to say.
We were both happy about it. We expected, you know, what they expect, you know, out of this pregnancy. And we worked together as a team.
Even though Carolyn and Christian's father wanted to give Christian a normal life by her parents getting married, by the time she was 8 years old, they were separated and divorced by the time she was 11. Carolyn mentioned that they got married because of Christian, but not because they were in love. This could be one of the reasons why they didn't stay married for long. When we talked to Quindara about this situation, she gave us her reason why she
didn't. Because I was in a formal relationship with the baby daddy, as we all like to call it. And also, I felt that I didn't need to subject myself into an unhappy relationship just to raise a child.
Not only was Quindara not married and as young as she was when she was pregnant, but she was still in college. Therefore, not only did this affect her social life, but it also affected
it
her
did.
Academic
I
education.
Literally, because of pregnancy, I got really tired and didn't feel like doing a lot of stuff because I was just physically tired or physically ill. So I missed a lot of my core classes, or I neglect to do a lot of my work, which caused me to literally have bad grades, and I had to be on probation for a semester, which meant that because my grades were so low that if I did not bring it up the next semester, I could be possibly kicked out of school. But once I had her, I had to also communicate with my teachers about my pregnancy, and especially around the time when I was about to deliver, I had to work with my teachers to set some time up out of school, get my schoolwork so I don't stay behind. I actually had a C-section, which that's surgery to have a baby taken out. And most C-sections, they tell you you can't even move for a whole month. But because with college, you only can miss out two classes before you fail, I literally, right after having my child, I only stayed out of school for about 2 weeks. And I went right back to school. And that kind of motivated me to do more. And I would say I was fortunate enough that all this happened. Me getting pregnant, I was in my junior year, my second semester of my junior year. And I had my child the first semester of my senior year. So it didn't really affect it to the point, but it did suck where after she was born, there was a lot of mornings where I hated to go to school because she would cry. And it kind of hurt to having to leave a crying baby at home. But I knew that if I didn't get my education now and do what I have to do now, I will have a harder time later on. It made me grow up faster than what I needed to. Granted, I was already in my 20s, but I have to admit, it cut my social life abruptly. I used to go out every day, go different places. I don't have to come home until 2 o'clock in the morning. But once I had my child, it was more like I had to put my child first. Like dating, I had to literally almost cater my dating around my child's schedule and around if I can get a babysitter or not. I had a guy friend or a boyfriend or what you would ever call it, a friend, quote unquote, literally was upset that I would choose to stay home with my child versus going out with them. So, having a child cuts that in half. Money, that's another thing. It's any money I got went right to the child first, and anything that was extra, I can take care of myself. So I had to sacrifice my dineros and time because children need attention. And I had to, literally any time that I was awake, I had to take care of her.
You can hear the emotion from Kondera about leaving a crying baby home when you have to go out and do something to make a better future for you and the baby. I heard her tears, but it never came visible. Let's see how it affected the religions. Carolyn stated that her religious determined whether she should get married.
Because it wasn't right in God's eyesight to be shacking up and have my daughter, and wasn't married yet.
Kondera stated her religion as Christian, and she talked about how her pregnancy affected her church life also.
Well, even in our religion, we are taught to not have fornication or wait until marriage to have any kind of intercourse, especially bearing children. That's why they call it out of wedlock. I had to go through, of course, that people had their little looks and their thoughts about me, and a lot of them was shocked. Even people who wasn't in the church were shocked I even can have a child, which I'm like, I don't know why. But I had to go through, I still am, but at that time I was in the praise and worship, the choir, and everything that you can possibly think that a teenager or young adult can be involved in church. But the moment that I had to let my pastor and a lot of my leadership know of my pregnancy, I had to step down. And that was the hardest thing to do, to literally stop everything that you love to do, like particularly for me singing. And I had to sit down because of that. And it took me a good about two years before I got back to where I originally did in church.
After going through everything they did, went through, they both had some regrets. Let's hear Carol's first.
I didn't regret having my two kids. That's the only thing I didn't regret is having two kids.
What do you regret?
Getting married.
Now let's hear Kondera.
Yeah, you always have that regret. You regret who you did it with and how it all happened. You regret the time, because I always thought I would be married and out of college and at least settled, like, quote-unquote, the ideal time to have children, but it didn't work out that way. But sometimes you just got to roll with the punches, and at that time, that was a lesson that I had to learn, and since we're talking about religion, I believe that that was God's way of settling me down, because I was a wild child in college, and that really stopped me in my tracks.
Also, here is something that Quindara wanted to tell the listener before we ended this show.
There's a lot more intel that no book, nobody can tell you. Even the most experienced mother cannot tell you exactly everything that you will have to go through. And we have to always remember that each child in each situation brings out a different outcome. And there's different things that may happen for one parent or one child that will not happen for you, but all in all, you have to be aware and prepare for it, and it's different. So,
thanks for listening. We'll be right back after these commercials. Okay, now we're back. The next story is about a grandmother dealing with children who was on drugs. This story is going to be crazy. Let's hear it.
In this interview, I interviewed my grandmother, Letty Ward, about how her children crossed her boundaries and the types of things that they took her through. This next segment will ask her about how was life in Jackson, Mississippi, and growing up as a foster child.
Wasn't too good, because we live with different, me and my sister would live with different relatives. And they made different than us and the other children, because our mother was dead. And ain't nobody gonna treat you like your real parents. My oldest sister got married to some guy from Philadelphia. He was in the service, and he brought her up here. And after she had been up here for a while, then she brought me up, sent for me to come up here. And when I was 19 years old. And I've been up here ever since.
She is now living in Philadelphia with her 7 children. Her husband died shortly after she had her 3rd child. Majority of her boys are now on drugs, and she began to talk about how the community and how drugs affected her children.
It wasn't that easy raising up 7 kids. Even though I had got married, my husband, he wasn't that good. He started drinking and everything. I didn't just lack him, but he just kept me upset all the time. Put you mean how the community to get really the ghetto, that's all I can tell you. A lot of people liked my children. They liked my children. They respected people, but they would still go out and do what boys would get into out in the street. I loved my children and everything. I had a good relationship with them. The only thing is the boys they was hard headed. They would do whatever I tell them not to do. They go ahead and do something else. They do just the opposite. What I tell them, do one thing, they go start going out there getting in trouble. All I could do, they just didn't listen. They didn't do too much talking back, but they just go ahead and do what they wanted to do. The whole problem was when they brought the Osari drugs, when kids got on drugs, that was the worst thing that happened in my life. Because I hate drug dealers. Because there's so many weak people out here and they'll sell it to anybody. Now, thank God that none of my daughters get out there get on no drugs or nothing.
Now that she notices drugs are slowly but surely becoming a part of her children's daily lives, she notices changes in her children. The main changes she sees is inside of Victor, Lindsay, and Jerome Moore. She begins to talk about how their lives went downhill.
I think Victor's more of a problem. He comes around, get on my nerves, and starts running his mouth about the grandkids coming, let me have I make different, how I treat my grandkids as if he's a child himself, like he's jealous of the grandkids. Well, he got on drugs. That was his main problem. He got on drugs. And then he started getting in trouble and being out there on drugs and stuff. And he wound up going to prison. He was out there, I don't know if he was selling drugs or buying drugs. I don't know what it was, but anyway, I was in the kitchen cooking, and I heard all this noise, and my dog started barking. I asked him, why'd he come in there for? What'd he come in there for? I don't sell no drugs. So they told me he was running from them. And they locked him up. He got out the next day. Jerome is a nerd. He is getting on your nerves. He come and complain and run his mouth and talk about it. Y'all think it's a big thing because he went to prison. He kept on getting in trouble, and I started going to take him to court and everything, and I had to ask people to please take him off the street before somebody killed him.
Not only did they bring problems to my grandma, her two children also brought problems to the home. Getting their house shot at and almost injuring one of their siblings.
Jerome was at the game ward, and then that caused other people to come to my house by me being a single woman in there with the kids, and they shot in my house, and the bullet ricocheted off of Michelle's head, and when they shot in the house, I had called the police. And the police, they took their own time by coming. They didn't do nothing. They knew about that gang war. They didn't do nothing about it.
Do you want to talk about that time of y'all shooting or
not? No. No, I ain't saying nothing. No.
Nah.
Wow,
let you see her face right now. Girl, you ain't like going to get locked up or something.
I ain't going to no stuff like this.
Huh?
I'm not going to no stuff like this.
Why?
You want to know too damn much about the business now.
Not only did drugs take over two of her children's lives, she also lost her oldest son to drugs.
And the worst thing was when I lost my oldest son.
And what's his name?
His name is William. He died from from kidney problems. That was from a long time of drug abuse. He was more of an easy-going person. And everything, he has got messed up on drugs. The hurting thing when I found out about all of them being on drugs.
Till this day, she is still receiving phone calls about her problem children.
Hello? Beg your pardon? I don't know. He comes in and out. I can't tell you what time he's going to be here. They keep on calling for Victor Lindsay. Keep on calling. I don't know if this is from a debt he owes or some kind of thing. They keep calling.
She now sits back and reflects on life and how things could have possibly been different. She also states who she believes that really let her down more in life than anyone else.
My boy is the one that really let me down in life. It took a lot out of me. It would drain anybody. You get tired of telling people stuff over and over. From juvenile prison to adult prison. He never listened. I'm tired of him crossing my boundaries, and I'm tired, and all I want to do is get some rest, and I'm not even worried about them no more. If I had a mother, maybe my life wouldn't have been that way, and I would have been able to know more about family. But I had to do everything on my own, nobody to help me.
Thank you for listening to the story about how my grandma's children crossed her boundaries. I hope you enjoy. Goodbye.
Now we are going to hear a story on how some people work together and how they are treated.
Today, we're going to find out what the boundaries between kids and teachers and kids, and how kids feel about teachers patching their boundaries with other adults and students. Also, you're going to hear a lot of different opinions from principals to teachers to students. But first, let's find out why the teachers wanted to teach, to inspire kids to be who they are today.
I had so many disagreeable and evil teachers. When I was in elementary school, I knew there had to be some nice teachers somewhere.
I became a teacher when I substituted one day. I was in banking before that. And I realized I was supposed to be a teacher because I loved it so much. And I knew that's what I should be. So I became a teacher.
I saw being a teacher as the most basic form of grassroots activism I could imagine. It was a way that I could make a difference in the world and see that difference every day and really see the effect of the work that I did every day. And that was a really appealing thought to me.
I also wanted to know, I really, really wanted to know if teachers could work with other teachers and still be in a good relationship, still have the means to help other kids, and if they see someone's doing wrong, what would they do?
Yes. I think we can still be friends and work together. That makes for a good relationship, a good working relationship if you're friendly.
Do you feel that working with other teachers is good for you, or like, does it affect how you teach?
No, it doesn't affect how I work. It might affect how they work. I try. It makes me want to do more. Okay.
When you say it affects how they work, what do you mean?
That I'm probably going to give them suggestions that they're not going to like or make comments that they're not going to like. So it's going to make them kind of annoyed.
No.
Why do you say no?
Because my teaching is for the students, number one. So another teacher will not have an effect on how I teach or work with the students in my classroom, or for that matter, any student in the building. So that's why I say that, because my goal here is for the students to be successful, not for the adults to be successful. And that's what every teacher, when it comes to the building.
Is there any boundaries in between kids, students, and teachers?
Yes.
That they shouldn't cross, and what
yes,
are they?
Yes, because I'm the adult in the classroom, I am the teacher, and they are the children, and I treat them as such.
Okay, I do think there are boundaries. I'm going to give you two. I don't have stories, but there are two examples. There are boundaries with teachers to teachers personally, okay? And professionally, I think people should be respected regardless. But you can come in and be a professional and work professionally with someone and not have a personal relationship. When I say a personal relationship, you do not have to leave this door and do anything outside of the building. And you should still be able to collaborate, because once again, your goal is for the students to be successful and independent learners. So when you come together, then that's what the teachers are collaborating for. And it doesn't matter whether you like or dislike or have a personal interest in, you know, the friendship or anything. The objective is, as a professional, that's what I'm here for. This is what I'm here to do. And we move on from there. For students, there's a boundary because students are learners and teachers are the facilitators of the learning. Okay? It doesn't have to be a strict, solid set of boundaries, but there should be some exchange, and you could be on friendly basis. However, there's always that level of respect as an adult versus a child. That should always be there, even at the high school level. Okay? Some of the boundaries, I won't say that they lessen, but the independence should increase as the further you get into the school. So the independence of a kindergarten is different than the independence that I would allow for a student in high school, or for that matter, in the fifth grade. Does that make sense?
Yeah. How do it make you feel when a teacher isn't teaching the right stuff to a certain group of kids. Like, you know how you just said kindergarten shouldn't be learning how to do first grade or second grade work?
Well, it angers me if I see a teacher that's not giving the students the best that they can. Or if a student, if I don't see teachers stretching the children or believing that the kids cannot do, instead of giving them opportunities to show that they can be successful, which means as teachers we have to be creative sometime in our teaching because every learner is different. So one learner may learn one way and the other learn the other way. So somehow as teachers we have to be creative and differentiate it so that each child has an opportunity to be successful. So when I see a teacher who sticks to just one set mold, if you will, of teaching, then it angers me because I know that they're not trying to develop their learners. They're just doing something very scriptive that they know that they're comfortable with. So no teachers should be comfortable in their craft or skill, but it shouldn't be comfort at the expense of the learners because that's our objective for our learners.
Is it you as a student and a teacher, have you ever been in a class that a teacher didn't understand you or a teacher just would cross the boundaries in between the student and teacher line and that you didn't like? And if so, when was it?
Okay. Well, whenever I have a disagreement with a teacher, I work at it to make them try to understand what I'm trying to say. Like, I would try to help them understand. It has been one time, but it wasn't really about education. My teacher said something really, really, like, out of line to me. And I felt, like, some kind of way when she said it. Yeah, it just was like, how dare you? You don't, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you have no right to say that compared to, like, a mom saying what she said to me.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
What did they say to cross that boundary?
One of the boundary lines that was crossed was a teacher had told me, like, I'd be much prettier with my bone structure out. And I was wondering, like, well, what, you're trying to call me ugly? I just feel like that was a whole boundary line crossed because we don't have that kind of relationship where I feel like you can comment on something that I do or anything, like, in my life, you know?
As you can see, there are a lot of different opinions, but I can see that everyone tries to work hard to make sure that people learn what they need to learn and keep personal, and business. Well, I would like to thank everybody for listening.
Thanks for listening to Crossing Boundaries with your host, Jules James. Bye.